All right, we are in the book of Galatians, and I mentioned at the beginning of this study that this is a really good excuse for us to read a book that a lot of times, I don't think that it's one of our most studied books. It's kind of a weird book. There's some really strong language used. Some parts of it are quite strong, not a nice church talk. You get the tone, from Paul's tone, you get the idea that he was really bothered. So it's kind of a weird book, and I think we'd rather go to Philippians or Ephesians if we're going to read a Paul letter than Galatians, but we're reading it together, so this is an opportunity for us to dig into it on our own time. The study that we do on Sunday mornings pales in comparison to how much God will talk to you if you read this book every day as we're going through the series. So if you read a paragraph, That's good. There's six chapters, so you could read one chapter a day and read it, the whole book once a week as we're going through the series. But whatever you do, I would encourage you to read it as we go through it. It will make what God tells you as we spend this time together much deeper. And I wanted to take a minute to remind you of these cards. Nothing magical in the card. But the questions that the card has are really, really powerful. Whether you use the card or you just remember the questions as you're reading the Bible, the question is, what is it saying? And how can I do what it says today? What is it saying? What should I do? What is it saying? What should I do? If we train ourselves to open this book regularly, every day, throughout the day, before when we get up, when we go to bed, and if we always ask ourselves those questions, what is it saying? What should I do? We will hear God speak to us through His Word. So, read Galatians. And that's what we're going to do together. We are we're in a part of Galatians where Paul starts telling his story. He tells a little his journey of faith. He kind of sums it all up, his life up until that point, in just a couple of sentences. We're in Galatians 1, verse 11. And the reason that he tells this story, he tells his story of faith in 11 through 24, and the reason he tells it is because he's explaining his teaching. He talked about the gospel at the beginning, and then he's going to spend the rest of the book talking about what they need to do, what they need to change, what they need to bring into line. And what he's doing by telling his story is he's explaining his teaching and why he teaches what he teaches. So read Galatians 1, 11 and 12 with me. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is a message from God that he received, and it's the message from Jesus. What is this gospel? Just a little review. You go back a couple of weeks, we looked at it in verses 3 through 5. It's this message that people who are bad, who are evil, who are wicked, who have rebelled against God, who have wanted to be their own little gods in their own little world, people like you and I can have peace with God, can become God's children, can be completely forgiven of their sins, can be forgiven for rebelling against the King of the universe if when they enter into Jesus' perfect life and receive His perfection, and when they enter into His death, as we celebrated in the Lord's Supper, and receive the forgiveness for their sins that He took upon Himself. And when they enter into His life through His resurrection, when He gives them the promise of rising from their grave and being God's eternal children forever, when we make the decision to repent and be baptized and enter into Christ, we can become God's children. That's the gospel. That's the message that Paul has just described. And now he's saying, I didn't get this from anybody, any person. I got this from God. And then he turns around and gives it to us. So we also are receiving it from God. And then he's going to connect in the next few verses by telling his story. He's going to connect this message of how people who have rebelled against God, people like you and I, can have peace with God. He's going to connect that with the rest of the letter. He's going to connect his spiritual journey with the error of these people's ways and can bring it all together. And so this is kind of a connecting passage. And what we're going to see as he talks about his spiritual journey is that there's four stages that he talks about, four different stages of his spiritual journey. There's rebellion against God. There's conversion to God, turning to God. There's guiding other people. And then there's fruits and glory. Fruits and we'll talk about that. We'll see it in his story. And what we'll see as we look through this is that there is a connection between his story, his spiritual journey, and what our spiritual journey should look like. As we look at Paul's spiritual journey, as he goes through these four different stages of and recounts it for them of what his spiritual journey has looked like, what we'll see is that that's what our spiritual journey should look like as well. What he experienced, that's what we should be experiencing. So I think this will be helpful to us. Instead, it's not just a biographical, you know, lesson, and this is what Paul's life is like, but rather, this is an example that's being held up, that this is what our spiritual journey should be like. So if you are a Christian, this should inspire us, that we should look at this and say, okay, that's what my spiritual journey should be like. It should probably motivate us. Not probably. It should motivate us. It should be something that we, as we hold it up this morning and look at, we should say, that's what I should be aspiring to. That's what my life should be like. And if you're not a Christian yet, if you're still thinking about becoming a Christian, if you're investigating becoming a Christ follower this morning, then what you'll see here is what your spiritual journey should be looking like, and it will call you to that. So, first of all, the big idea, what we see in his spiritual journey, and then we'll dig in and look at the four different stages of his journey. The big idea is the following Jesus. And we see this in Paul's life. We should see it in our life. The following Jesus means you are always moving forward. Following Jesus means you're always moving forward. I want you to look for that in this text. If you don't see it, then you can zone out and doze off, but if you see it, look for it. Look for it in this text. See if it's there. This is what I see in the text, is that there's a lot of forward movement in Paul's own journey. He's saying it's a forward movement. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It's becoming more and more like Jesus, imitating him more and more. There's always another step that you should be taking if you're following Jesus, and there's a little bit of resistance that I feel to that. You might feel it as well. Because as human beings, we want to get to a place where we're good, where things are good. We want to get to a place. We live our lives, even in just in, you know, non-spiritual terms, just in normal life terms. If I get that job, if I get that house, if I marry that person, if I get situated, or if I'm retired, or I'm going to get to a place sometime when things are just, it's going to be good. It's just going to be good. And we want that same feeling with God. We want to be, so we say, well, now I go to church semi-regularly. I'm good. Or I got baptized. So I'm good. I'm in a good place with God. Things are good. And we're at a place. We stay there. Or now I'm in a Bible study. I go to church and I'm in a Bible study. Obviously, I'm in a good place. Or I read my Bible every day. Or I'm guiding someone, or I'm working in a ministry. I'm good. I'm in a good place. We want to get to a good place and just be good and be there, and things are good, and I'm not have to move forward. But as we look at Paul's life, what we're struck with is he was constantly moving forward. And I think that's what it means to follow Jesus for us as well. There's always another step, always something else that God is calling you to until he calls you final step when you see him. So what are the stages? The first one is rebellion. The first stage in anyone's spiritual journey is rebellion against God. Look at verse 13 and 14. What Paul is describing is everyone's spiritual state. It's being God's enemy. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. He is describing the time in his life when he was living in direct rebellion against Jesus. He thought that he was good. He thought that he was living the way he should. But he realized later, I wasn't as good as I thought I was. I was living in rebellion against God. And that's a spiritual state of all of us at one time or another. We all rebel against God. Keep your finger in Galatians. Flip over really quick to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You probably say this one from memory, but we'll read it anyway. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, all rebel and are lacking God's glory. All of us have rebelled against God. That's our story as well. It takes different forms in our lives. So some people's rebellion looks really bad, and it lands them in a bad place physically or in their life circumstance. And everybody else looks at it and says, oof, they made a mess of their life. Other people's rebellion looks really good on the outside. It turns out pretty well for them. And people look at their life and, like David in the Psalms, say, wow, why are the wicked doing so well and I'm not? Our rebellion doesn't necessarily turn out good or bad, but the core of our rebellion is that we are our own boss. We're doing what we think is right, just like Paul was. That is the core of rebellion against God. And God calls us to move forward. Following Jesus is a call from us to move out of rebellion and into submission to God. And that's what then Paul describes. Look at verse 15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. And then he continues down. So he describes his conversion to God. He was in rebellion. And then his spiritual journey continued. He was converted to God. God saved him. You look at just the words he uses. When he who had called me, who had set me apart before I was born, God decided he was going to save him. He called him. He pulled him to himself by his grace. He didn't have to save Paul. He didn't have to show up on the road when he was going to kill other Christians and put them in jail. And he didn't have to do that, but he decided to. And he showed up, and he had mercy on Paul, and he saved him. He decided to show him his son. Paul knew about Jesus before, but God decided to open up his heart and his mind and show him who Jesus really was and make Paul love Jesus and have a complete change of heart. God saved him, and he also it saves us. The same thing that happened to Paul. God says, I set you apart. I decided to save you. I showed my grace to you. I pulled you towards myself. I changed you. That's what God does to us when he saves us, when he calls us to turn to him. Look at Acts 2, 37. This isn't an experience that's unique to Paul. It's unique to anyone who turns to God. Peter has just told this story of Jesus and to a crowd, not just to Paul, but to a huge crowd. And look at what it says. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. God calls people to himself. And when he does, they repent and they turn to him, and they're baptized into Christ. He saves us. He makes us his children. He forgives us. He fills us with his Spirit. God pulls us to himself, and he calls us to continue moving forward out of rebellion into conversion, into submission to him. But it doesn't stop there. The story of Paul's spiritual journey doesn't stop with him becoming a Christian and getting his life cleaned up, you know, stopping killing Christians and stopping the bad stuff that he's doing, and then, you know, coming to church in Jerusalem every Sunday. No, God calls him to move forward, just as he calls you and I to continue moving forward. He calls him to guide other people to God, to himself, to guide other people to see Jesus. He starts working with Jesus. This is the part that should make us uncomfortable. If you're a Christian, this is the part that should make us start feeling a little uncomfortable, because this is a lot of times where we like our spiritual story to kind of plateau out. I became a Christian. God saved me. I'm not in rebellion anymore. I'm a good Christian, and I go to church. I'm in a good place. And Paul's story doesn't stop there. It continues forward. He continues moving forward just as we should as well. Look at the end of verse 16, and then we'll continue on. God was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, or Peter, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. See what he's saying? I kept going forward. God called me to himself so that I would talk to him about him to other people. And so then I started doing that. I started going and talking to people. I started talking about Jesus to other people. And if you follow the story of Paul's life as it's told in other places, like the book of Acts, he talked about Jesus during this time, and he helped people, person after person, come to Christ. He started congregations, little groups of Christians. He guided people to God. He dedicated his life to working with Jesus. Kind of sounds like fulfilling the Great Commission, going and making other followers and baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And there we find that what Paul was called to do is also what we're called to do. See his spiritual journey of being in rebellion and then coming to conversion to Christ and submitting his life to Christ and then giving the rest of his life to guiding other people to know Jesus. That's what our spiritual journey should be like. Look at verse 16 again. He says, talking about God, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So God called me to himself. He revealed Jesus so that I would proclaim him. Flip over a couple pages to the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And this is a much more general statement. Paul was talking about himself there, but look at how the language is almost identical, and he's talking universally about Christians with this statement. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God saves people to be part of his family because he loves them, so that we will help other people know him. And so Paul gave the rest of his life to that, to talking about Jesus. And you say, well, okay, so he traveled around to different places. I don't even live in that part of the world. How do I do that in my life? It's what we, well, I don't know, we, I, what I say all the time, at least from this place, I say, we're supposed to have friendships with a purpose. We're supposed to open up our lives to the people that God puts in our lives, whether it's our children or our spouse or the person that we casually know as we go out about in the community or the person we work with. We're supposed to have friendships with a purpose. We're supposed to dedicate our lives to helping the people around us know God by praying for them, by opening up our lives to them and spending time with people, but by looking for opportunities to talk about Jesus to them and with them, studying the Bible, explaining the gospel. We're supposed to give ourselves to help other people know Jesus. We are saved for that purpose, just as Paul was. And if you look at the language he used, he said, God told me to do this. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I went to Arabia, and then I went to Damascus. And then in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem, and he visited Peter and stayed with Peter for a couple of weeks and talked to Peter and James. And then he went back to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. He, you see the urgency that he was doing this with? He gave himself to this. It wasn't, I thought about talking to Jesus about that one guy at work and never really had an opportunity. So yeah, that's kind of how my experience a lot of time goes. Like, yeah, I need to talk to that person, and then I forget about it, and then I should pray for them. Okay, I'm going to pray for them, and then I'll see them. Oh, yeah, I need to. He did this with urgency. He gave himself to helping other people know God. It was his life's priority. And as he continued moving forward doing this, that led him to something else, the last stage of his Christian journey. Look at what it is. I call it bearing fruit in glory. Look at verse 22. Look at how he ends this. And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. See, this last stage of our Christian journey is a result of the first three stages. When I go from rebellion and God saves me and I submit myself to God and then I give myself to helping the people around me know God, when you and I do that, guess what happens? We bear fruit. What's fruit? It's in this context, it's people come closer to God. People know God. People who wouldn't have known God before are being transformed by God through our lives, through our friendships. It's when you and I sit down and we're able to study the Bible with someone who we thought never going to happen. And that person would be the last person interested, but now we're reading the Bible with them and they want to know God. It's when you're baptizing somebody who no one ever would have expected that person becoming a Christian. That's fruit in our lives. It's when you're able to talk about the gospel to someone at work who was the coldest, most sarcastic, most superficial person you ever met, who never would have an interest in God, and then something happens in their life and now they're opening up to you and you're able to tell them about Jesus. See, that's the kind of fruit that comes out of our life. It came out of Paul's life, comes out of our life, and then God receives glory from that. Look at that last verse again, verse 24. And they glorified God because of me. When people see us guiding other people to God, when people look at your life and they see you reading the Bible with your children, praying for your spouse, talking about the gospel to that person at work, studying the Bible with the person on your kids, the other parent on your kids' sports team. When people see that, God receives glory. People say, wow, that's incredible. God must be real because I see him changing people's lives. That person isn't that special. The person who's talking isn't that special. They have nothing about them that would be, oh, well, that's of course. They're a really charismatic person. Of course they're gonna help other people know God. They're just a normal person. But God is transforming people around them through them. God is powerful. God is good. God is incredible. That's God receiving glory through the fruits of our lives when we live focused like Paul did on helping other people know God. And this isn't just Paul. Look at one more passage. Look at John 15, verse 6. No, verse 16. Jesus is talking to his followers. This is universal. This isn't just Paul. This is all of us. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Jesus calls his followers to help other people know him. And when that happens, he transforms the people around us and God receives glory, just like in Paul's life. That should be the pattern that we see in Paul's life, should be the pattern of our lives. We should turn from our rebellion, and submit our lives to God. And then we should give our lives to guiding the people around us. And as we do that, God transforms people, and he receives glory. And we should do that more and more, as Paul did throughout his life. He continually gave his life more and more to helping the people around him know God. So, that was his life. What do we do with that? What should we do? Well, if the application is pretty straightforward. We should continue moving forward. If we are Christ followers, if you are thinking about becoming a Christ follower, we should continue moving forward in our spiritual journey. And to move forward, you have to know two things. So here are a couple of self-inventory questions you have to ask. What part of the story, what part of the spiritual journey are you in? Have you made your decision to follow Jesus by repenting and being baptized? If not, then you're still on the side of rebellion. If you've already made that decision, are you guiding other people? Who's the person around you that you could guide towards Jesus that you're not focusing on? What part of the spiritual journey are you in? And what do you need to do to keep moving forward? If you're on the side of never having decided to follow Jesus, then you need to move from rebellion to submission to God. Let him save you. You need to decide to repent and be baptized and enter into Jesus. Decide to follow him. If you're on the other side of that decision, then you and I need to look around and say, okay, God, I need to be focused on this more and more. Who's around me that I could guide that I'm not guiding in this moment? Who could I help know you better? How could I do that? So, if following Jesus is about moving forward, what do you need to do? And what will you do? What do you need to do? And what will you do? Why don't we stand as you think about that? Why don't you stand? We'll sing together after we pray. God, we thank you for giving us these little windows into the lives of other people who have faithfully followed you. God, we would ask that you would, by your grace, that you would help us to live the same way. So that at the end of our days, we could look back and look at the pattern of Paul's life and say, yeah, that was the pattern of my life too. God, I pray for those who have not made the decision to follow you, to be your children, that you would draw them to yourselves, that you would give them the unavoidable desire, the irresistible, just knowing, I got to do that, and that they would repent, that they would be baptized, that they would tell someone, I'm ready, I want to make that decision. God, for those of us who have already made that decision, I pray that you would show us clearly who is that person who you've put around us that we've just kind of been ignoring in a spiritual sense, and that you would help us focus our spiritual energy, our prayer and our time and our conversations on that person, and that we would help them be transformed by you, and that you would receive glory through that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.